Well, good morning, everybody. I'm going to set up over here, and you'll see why in a little bit. Can I just say I got my first Christmas present this morning? Look at this. I'm hands-free. I said to Melanie, it'd be great if there was a cup holder. They make cup holders, and whoo, there's a cup holder. It's a Christmas miracle, right? Thank you, Melanie, for making that happen. And hold on. See, now it's like there. Now I don't have to be like, it's all the way on the floor. Brian, thank you so much for leading us in announcements and planting that thought about Christmas Eve in our minds about it being a good event to invite people to. A few weeks ago, we spoke about how as followers of Jesus, we have the calling, we have the mission to be bringing Jesus to people and people to Jesus. And I threw out the image of a bridge. You might remember this, about maybe a bridge is a good mental picture to keep in mind that sort of helps us guide what we do. Bridges are great. Bridges connect people at two different points to one another. They're about connections. They cross borders, they cross boundaries, they even cross over top of things that ordinarily would be a barrier, things like ravines or a canyon or a large body of water. Bridges are awesome. They make people, they help people connect with one another. This is a great image for us to have as followers of Jesus, that we are to be about building bridges to the people that we have relationships with, building bridges towards people who may not have any connection to Jesus, wherever they happen to be, whatever their disposition is to Jesus, that where we will meet them. Bridges are about connections. They're about relationships. And so as followers of Jesus, we have been given this challenge to be bridge people. And so what this, on a simple level, might just mean that we just go about our lives with an intentionality, recognizing that the way that we do our business, the ways that we interact with other people, are opportunities for them to see and experience Jesus for themselves. Sometimes it'll mean that we actually do something, that we find ourselves doing something outside of our normal rhythms and routines because we see a need and we're responding to it. And at another time, it might mean that we actually say something where we realize that we need to speak about our relationship with Jesus into somebody's life, and they are open and they're receptive to that. And so as we talked about this a few weeks ago, I gave us the challenge to be praying for 20 new families. I kind of waffled back and forth. I said 10, and then I said 20. I'm committing on 20, okay? The Holy Spirit said, don't be wishy-washy. Go with 20. So we're praying for 20 new families to find their way from our community into our church community. And that's a pretty big deal. And what we're praying towards really is we're praying that God would use us to be the bridge, the connection between the people that we do life with and Christ. That's what we're praying. That's what we're asking. And so as we are preparing for our Christmas Eve service, we recognize that this is a bridge-building event. Okay, we don't need special events, it just needs to be us, but this is an opportunity to invite people to meet with Jesus. Something that it kind of shocked me, I have got two little kids at home, and we watch a show called The Wiggles. Is anybody familiar with The Wiggles? If you're not familiar with The Wiggles, go in peace, don't look it up, okay? But The Wiggles have a Christmas special that's been on a loop at our house. And one of the things that caught me off guard was the fact that the first song in the Christmas special was about the real meaning of Christmas, the birth of Jesus. And this caught me off guard because I'm not used to seeing that in our culture. Now, they had plenty of Santa stuff. Santa had showed up and has a whole like thing to do. But Santa sings about Jesus, too. Maybe confusing for the kids, but it just illustrates the fact that I think there's an openness in our culture and our society to spiritual things this time of year. And so in our prayer time this morning, I'm going to invite you to be praying with me as we pray for our Christmas Eve services, as we pray for our interactions with other people in the next week, that we would be bridge people, that God would bring people here who need to be here, and that he would give them an openness to hear about Jesus maybe for the first time. And so would you bow with me as we pray together? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you that you have brought us to this place that we can be a church family united by you. Lord, I thank you for those who might have found their way here this morning that don't know you but are exploring you. And Lord, my prayer is that they would feel comfortable here, and that there would be good conversations that happen, and that they would be able to feel like they belong, even as they're trying to figure out what it means, what church is all about, and who Jesus is. Lord, next weekend is a busy weekend. We have 3 Christmas Eve services, and these are going to be fun. They're going to be times where we get to sing our favorite songs, where we get to just enter into something special. But God, we don't want to just go through the motions as something that we do, exclusive club. God, we want this to be a space where people can find their way here and can experience Jesus for maybe the first time. And so, God, we ask that you would bring people to our service, people that need to be here. And, Lord, that you would give us a boldness and a discernment and a whimsical nature about our conversations with other people that would invite people to join us here. And, Lord, that through this relationship, that there would be those who would encounter Jesus for the first time. God, we acknowledge that you can do great things. And we want you to do great things in the lives of our friends and our family and our coworkers. But Lord, would you give us the boldness to be a part of this? That we wouldn't be sitting back waiting for you to do everything and not be a willing participant. Would you help us to overcome fear, overcome doubt, overcome insecurities that we might have? And Lord, that we would be responsive to how you might be asking us to interact with somebody this week. God, it is our desire that many people would come to know you and experience, be changed by you. And so, God, would you put this prayer, this desire deep in our hearts? And will we speak it to you on a regular basis? In your name we pray. Amen. So most buildings like ours, and maybe your workplace, have a security system attached to their fire alarm system, right? We have a love-hate relationship with these things. A couple weeks ago, our alarm system went off. Okay, one of our little friends got curious and they pulled it, and that's okay, it happens. We discovered that it worked. And we are also reminded that when a fire alarm goes, that maybe we don't remember what we're supposed to do, because we all stood around and looked at each other. And then some of us said, maybe we should go outside. That has prompted a bit of a review, okay? We will be figuring out how to get everybody out of the building in a timely fashion next time. It happens. The church that I was a part of in Hamilton, I never heard that alarm go off during the daytime. I only heard that alarm go off at nighttime, and never for a justifiable reason. This is the love-hate relationship that we can have with our alarm company, our security system. We had motion sensors, we had sensors on doors and on windows, and this is what it could feel like at points right here. And what would happen from time to time, because in our infinite wisdom, we put a motion sensor on the stage, and we had mice. And so when a mouse ran across the stage in the middle of the night, the alarm would go off, and then there were some of us that would get a phone call in the middle of the night to try to go and figure out what was happening. I was one of those people. I lived too close to the church. And so on a list of 5 people, I was always the first person to get called, and it was always at 3 in the morning. And so this one day in February, I picked up the phone at 3 in the morning. It said Password Protection. That's the security company on the phone. I picked it up. I said, hello. They said, Mr. Mutter, there's an alarm going off at the church. Do you want to go check it out? Gut reaction is, no, I don't. My sense of responsibility said, you should probably go check it out. And so I talked with the lady on the phone. She said, we don't think it's a fire. It's not the fire alarm going off. It looks like all the doors and windows are still closed and it's still one piece. It doesn't look like somebody broke it, and it's probably just some error. So I said, okay, hung up the phone, got dressed, got in the car, drove around the corner. It's February, so it was kind of cold. Rude awakening, by the way. And walked through the building in the dark, looking around and to confirm that everything was fine and there was a battery that was malfunctioning on a smoke detector somewhere, okay? No problem. But I'm telling you this because it was a very odd experience to have, walking around a building of that size in the dark at 3 in the morning. I don't know if you've had that experience before, but nothing sounds the way that you're used to it sounding. The building's oddly quiet with the exception of noises that you've never heard before. And in the shadows, you think that things move around. Your eyes start to play tricks on you. And if you're not careful, you can get into your head with this. The dark can be kind of scary. And even if you haven't had this experience in a big empty building, maybe you've had this experience at your house where you've gotten up in the middle of the night, gone to the washroom, and the house looks different. It sounds different at night. And you aren't really sure what's going on. You kind of mentally know that things are fine, but emotionally things start, you start playing tricks on yourself. Now this morning I'm talking about the dark, not to confess my deep-seated fear of the dark. It could be true, but I'm telling you this to more get us thinking about the dark. For the reason that the theme of darkness is something that we find in Scripture as a way of describing what sin is and the effects that sin have. And this morning, we want to explore the theme of light and darkness and to be thinking about what it's like to wander around in the dark is a good place for us to start. Now, as a bit of a heads up, you will notice that the blinds are all down. It's a little bit darker in here normally than it is normally on a Sunday morning. At some point this morning, we're going to start turning the lights off, and it's going to be as dark as we can make it in here. It won't be for very long. It's on purpose. I apologize if it kind of makes you nervous, and if it's a little bit too much, you are allowed to go. We aren't going to do anything scary. Nobody's going to jump out and yell boo, okay? But it's to sort of help us enter into this theme a little bit this morning. Romans chapter 1, the Apostle Paul writes this, "For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, and their foolish hearts were darkened." The Apostle Paul here, he is talking about people rejecting God. He says they knew about God, but they didn't honor him. In other words, they chose to put him aside and say, "I got this. We don't need you. We're okay." And the result is that their hearts are described as being dark. In 1 John chapter 2, John writes, "But anyone who hates a brother or sister is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. They do not know where they're going because the darkness has blinded them." Here, John is describing how the way that we treat one another reveals what's going on inside of us. And in this case, he's saying when we hate somebody, we are in the dark and we're not able to know where we are going because we are in the dark. It's the result of our sin is that we are in the dark. The dark is one way that Scripture talks about sin and the impact that it has. Have you ever had this experience? You're sitting outside on your deck, on your front porch, and you're camping, wherever. You're outside, it's a nice summer evening, you're enjoying the last of the sun, maybe you're watching the sunset. And at one moment, you're enjoying the last of the sun, and the next moment, you realize that you're just sitting in the dark. If you're like me, despite the fact that this happens every single day, there are moments where you're like, how did this happen? It was light and now it's dark. Honey, we're just sitting in the dark now. Did you realize that? The darkness can just sneak up on us. I think that this is a good way for us to think about sin. Sin can be sneaky. I don't think too many of us intentionally set out to allow sin into our lives. I don't think many of us intentionally set out to let sin ruin our lives. But if we aren't careful, sin can sneak up on us. And one day we wake up to the reality that it's there, and it's messy, and we aren't sure how things got to the point that they are. Sin can be sneaky. When I was in college, I worked at a camp for the spring and the summer months. And one year, I went up earlier than everybody else did, earlier than the rest of the staff. I finished my exams in early April, and I went up just to enjoy a little bit of some downtime before the camp season got into full swing. And I remember that first night sitting outside enjoying the sunset, taking some deep breaths and really just letting it kind of, the quietness kind of wash over me. And it was at that point that darkness snuck up on me. And it wasn't for a city kid, it was that country darkness that has like zero light pollution. And at that point, my eyes started to play tricks on me in that transition from light to dark. See, I started to imagine and think that I was seeing animals running across in the background. There were coyotes and wolves and bears. And then I started to think, are there people out there? And then I started hearing noises and inventing all sorts of stories about the untold dangers that lurked out there in the darkness. Eventually, I got so in my head that I ran inside the building that I was staying in. I closed the door and I locked it, and I stayed in there for the rest of the night. It's something that started out being fun, but turned a weird corner and became scary. Again, I wonder if this can help us understand sin. That what can seem like fun at first can become scary. It's the line we cross when something that we do because it's fun turns into an addiction, or it turns into something that we can't live without. Or it's that line when that little white lie that we tell because it makes everything okay suddenly becomes something that we can't control anymore, and we don't know what the truth actually is. The dark can become scary when we don't know what's out there. It messes with our ability to know what is real. In John chapter 8, Jesus describes Satan as being the father of all lies. See, one of the things that sin does is sin lies to us. It tells us that things are good when they're not. As an example, sin tells us that life is about our happiness, something that we just get fed to us all the time through our advertising, through our consumer culture. Life is about our happiness. But what sin doesn't tell us is that we're never going to find what we're looking for if life is all about us. You know, another lie that we're tempted to believe is that our sin doesn't hurt anyone. Something that is very much normal in our culture is pornography. It's an area of darkness that exists in our world. And the lie that's attached to pornography is this, is that consuming porn doesn't hurt anyone, when in fact it does. Pornography damages the user. It impacts the way that we relate to other people, to the people that we love. It destroys intimacy. And the truth is that it hurts all sorts of people. See, one of the things that porn does is it nurtures a mindset that allows us to see other people as objects. And it's clearly connected with the issue of sexual exploitation. See, what sin does is it keeps the truth about pornography in the dark. Now, as I was preparing this message, I was thinking, I've made a couple confessions over the past couple weeks. And I thought you might think that I'm confessing that I'm afraid of the dark. And it's true. Maybe I am just afraid of the dark a little bit. The dark makes us fearful because we don't know what's around the corner. And in fact, you could be like me at camp and become so afraid of the dark that you run inside and you lock yourself someplace safe. You know what? Sin does the same thing. It plants seeds of fear in our hearts and our minds and can make it so that we don't help other people the way that we ought to. Fear might mean that we move away from a homeless person instead of engaging them. Fear may mean that we don't get to know our neighbors. In my own experience, what fear does is fear gives me a reason to not do what is truly loving. But here's the thing. Where Scripture talks about sin as a darkness that consumes and permeates, Scripture talks about Jesus being God's light that has come to expose the darkness and to scatter it. Hear those words of Scripture from Isaiah chapter 9. The people walking in the darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. In John chapter 1, Jesus is described this way. In him was life, and that life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And Jesus, and John says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. I'm going to show you something that I got for camp. Let me find it here. Oh, here it is. This right here is my super duper flashlight. Yeah. It's big, it is heavy, and the reason I got this for camp is, well, it cuts through the darkness quite nicely. One of the jobs that I used to have was to do like security detail, walking up at the camp, and you know, it became fun, kind of fun, hunting down staff that were sneaking out after curfew. One of the things that I liked about this light is it really cuts through the darkness and exposes things. And so you see somebody running away, you know, trying to hide in the darkness, and you go, ha! It was a lot of good fun at camp. But you know what? The few times that I had to show up at the church at 3 a.m., I brought this flashlight with me. It helped make me feel safe. It helped expose the expose what was hidden in the darkness. It brought to light what was hidden and exposed the fact that there were things that weren't hidden that I was afraid might be there. You know, in a world consumed by darkness, Christmas reminds us that Jesus is God's light and that he has come to push back the darkness, to expose sin for what it is, and to invite us into his light. You know, throughout the ministry of Jesus, Jesus invites people like us to follow him. And what we're not talking about is a game of follow the leader, but an invitation to get to know him, to imitate him, to have his life change our own, to have our identities redefined by our connection to him. See, to accept the invitation to follow Jesus is to accept an invitation into the light and life of God. For some of us here this morning, we've never accepted the invitation to follow Jesus. And to you, I just want to simply put it this way. If you've heard that invitation, what you need to know is you don't need to be a perfect person. You don't need to get your life together in order to accept that invitation. That invitation is for people who realize that what they've been doing isn't working and that they're looking for something better. And the invitation to follow Jesus is an invitation to turn from our orientation towards the darkness and to turn into embrace the new life and light of Jesus. And so if that is something that you are hearing and you're feeling inside of you a nudging or a something in your stomach, can I encourage you not to ignore that, but to recognize that that is an invitation to join Jesus in the light of God. And that might be something that you want to do or something you might want to talk to somebody about today. Now, speaking to followers of Jesus, to people who would call themselves Christians, Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, he says, "You are children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or the darkness." This right here is a wonderful, profound reminder to those of us who are already followers of Jesus about who we are and what we're supposed to be about. We are people who are all about the light, about Jesus' light, and we shouldn't be living and we shouldn't be believing that we are in the darkness still. Our sin and our shame and the darkness and uck of our lives has been dealt with as we've turned towards Jesus and we are embracing who Jesus wants to make us. And so as followers of Jesus, we need to learn to continue to embrace that we are light people, no longer dark people of the darkness. Listen to what Jesus says to his followers on the Sermon on the Mount. He says, "You are the light of the world." Now hold on, we need to talk about that for a moment. Because you remember a few moments ago, I read a verse where Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." Here he says to people who are following him, "You are the light of the world." Think about that for a moment. Jesus is God's light come to expose sin and darkness and to invite people into the light. As his followers, people who follow him, Jesus says, "Okay, you are the light of the world now. Just as I have come to bring light into the darkness, now you have been given the light to do the same thing." That's huge. Let's read this. "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." You see, having experienced the light of Jesus, we've been given a level of responsibility, a level of mission that we need to learn to embrace. And just like it should sound ridiculous to us that we would try to hide a city from view, or that we would light a lamp just to cover it up, It should seem rather silly, ridiculous to us that we would try to hide from the view of others what Jesus has done in our lives and is currently doing in our lives. We have been given the light of Christ to show it off. And not in a showy look at me sort of way, but in a way that is useful and helpful. I love what Jesus says here when he talks about lighting a lamp and putting on a stand so that everybody else can see it. It's useful. It's welcomed. People in the house, it's dark. Let's turn on the light. Oh, thank you. Now I can read. Now I can do what I need to do here. Our light is supposed to be welcome and useful and helpful to those around us. Not a pushy in your face kind of thing. We've been given a light so that we might invite other people to experience the light for themselves. Now, I know we've been sitting here in the dark for a little bit, and you seem to be handling it well. I'm sure some of you are a little squirmy waiting for the lights to turn on, and I'm just going to ask for you to bear with me for a few more minutes. Over the past few years, I've been reflecting on this theme of light and darkness, because I think that it's helping me understand my calling as a follower of Jesus a little bit better. See, I found myself imagining the places that I go as being physically dark. The grocery store, the mall, hospital, wherever. The places that I go as being physically dark. And the people that I interact with there, well, they're in the dark too. They're trying to find their way around in the dark. But there I am with a light, a lamp, a flashlight. Maybe it's just my cell phone. And I'm able to help those people see. I'm able to help them get around. And so I'm going to invite you right now to grab your cell phone, turn it on, and hold it up. If you don't have a phone, it's okay. You're probably good and you left it at home. And hold it up like this for a moment. And look around as you look at everybody else holding up their phones. And look at the light that is kind of... Some nice waving going on back there. Yeah, we're at a concert. That's good. But look around for a moment and recognize how much light is coming from each group of us as individuals holding up light in a dark room. Now think about this as we, as followers of Jesus, walk around the world that we live in, walk around our city, walk around our communities, and think about the light that we can bring to those who are wandering around in darkness. We have a mission. We have a role to play as individuals and as a community. That's pretty amazing. You can put your phones away now if you want. Or you can keep holding them up in the air, but it's going to get kind of awkward. Chris, could you turn the lights back on? So let's think a little bit here about what does it mean for us to let our light shine? This is a great question for us to be asking ourselves, but it's an even better question for us to be asking God. Say, God, what does it mean for my light to shine here? And so maybe the next time you go to Tim Hortons or wherever your favorite coffee shop is, you ask God this question. You say, God, what would it mean for me to let my light shine here? And you feel yourself led to strike up a conversation with somebody who's sitting alone. Or maybe it's just offering a warm smile. Maybe it's even as boldly as just sitting down and having a short conversation. And in that brief exchange, we can be used by God to let his light shine by being his presence with them. Or maybe we can ask the question, God, how can I let your light shine when we're faced with a need? And perhaps in asking this question, the Holy Spirit will prompt us to respond with a sacrificial generosity that models the light and life of God. Or, as you ask God for his leading, maybe you're going to feel yourself led to deal with a relationship that has been strained or broken for years, to offer forgiveness to somebody who has hurt you, or to offer forgiveness to somebody who has hurt somebody that you've loved. Or maybe as you ask God, what does it mean to let your light shine? It will include speaking into somebody's life with your experience that you've had with Jesus. You know, these are just a few examples, and none of them, I think, are particularly easy. But here's the thing. Sometimes responding to what God asks us to do is not easy. It can be tough. And it won't always feel natural. See, what feels natural is being selfish. What feels natural is holding a grudge. What feels natural is not putting ourselves out there to avoid strangers. But when we do this, all we do is perpetuate the darkness. We just keep the chaos going. But rather, as followers of Jesus, we are given the mission to be a part of how God is pushing back the darkness, how God is bringing his light into expression. It's a mission to be different, and it's a mission that will require us to rely on the Holy Spirit. And sometimes we're going to sit down and we're going to say, God, that's too tough. I'm going to need your help if that's going to happen. But it's a mission to be a part of how God is pushing back the darkness and bringing his light into our world. This Christmas, we are celebrating the fact that God has sent his light into our world. He's by celebrating the birth of Jesus. And so let's be looking for opportunities to be letting this light shine. Let's be looking for opportunities to be helpful and useful and in pointing people to Jesus. Because the reality is we each know people who are in desperate need of experiencing this light for themselves, don't we? And so let me encourage you to be looking for opportunities this week to be saying, God, how can I let your light shine here? And to be looking for opportunities to bring somebody here on Christmas Eve so they can experience us singing and talking and as a community lifting up our lights and experiencing the light of Jesus for themselves. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we want to say thank you for today. I want to say thank you for bringing us here and for the opportunity to reflect on what you have done for us and how that changes us. God, we know many people, so many people who are wandering around in the darkness, stuck without hope, lacking peace and joy. And Lord, they need to experience what only you can do. And so, Lord, as we celebrate and reflect on what you have done in our lives, would you move us to be a part of pushing back the darkness that exists in our world? May you give us boldness where we need boldness. Would you give us compassion where we need compassion? Lord, would you give us the words when we need to speak?